18 minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here. This is Episode 7, Act 1, Scene 1. In episode 6, I had a story that involved a business executive who had been at the 2015 opening of a portal Zendra at Mount Shasta, California. He described how Paula Harris and six other witnesses entered a portal Zendra. Today I have one of the key interviews that involves this whole portal subject, and today I actually have the interview with Paula Harris, who actually took me to the actual site where this occurred. I was there in 2017. As with everything else, I had no interest in Zendra's portals. I have no idea what anything was going on. And in 2017, there was a message that came to me that the being involved, it was in the 14 and 15 Zendras, knew I was coming to the mountain, and there would be a what they call a program sighting. So in a program sighting, what happens is there's a prediction from people who are getting messages as to where the sighting will take place and exactly what time. So they had predicted the time 9:33, two people, and at 9:33 this bizarre event started to happen over my head, which was quite enlightening. You go down the rabbit hole pretty fast and you suddenly realize maybe these people are onto something. So it was during that 2017 event that I talked to Paula. We were just standing on the road, and I said, "So where did that event happen, that event with Aunt Terrell?" She said, "Oh, right over there." So I said, "Well, can we go over and you can explain to me what happened?" She said, "Yeah, sure." So what you're going to hear today is the interview that I did. We walk across the field. I cut some of the interview out as we're walking. You probably don't want to hear us just walking. It was it's quite a distance. It's maybe, I don't know, a third of a mile across this field. It's a long distance across this wide open field where there are no trees, to the edge of this forest where the events happen. Now, in 2020, there was another event that happened, which was kind of like the giant roller coaster at Disneyland. Much more dramatic, and we are working on that right now, and I will present that material as soon as I get it. There was 9 witnesses to that inside one of these portal Zendras. But the portal is perhaps the key story in ufology. Kit Green, who used to run the weird desk of the CIA, had told Jim Peniston, who was the key witness at the Rendlesham Forest case, that they were working on propulsion. They were dealing with experiencers, and the main thing that they wanted to do was the whole story of how does the phenomena pop in and pop out just as quickly. So in terms of that, that is what we're looking at here. We're looking at a phenomena that doesn't seem to be flying into this world. It seems to be coming in and coming out of wormholes, portals, Zendras, whatever you want to call them. And the other thing that is sort of indicates that the portal may be the story that we need to watch is the fact that John Alexander had done an interview with Gaia, and at the very end, he had made the statement, it's not about the UFOs, it's about the portals. That could be absolutely true. This is what this story is about. It's a key to understanding who we're dealing with, how they get here, and perhaps why they're here. Now, we'll go on to this interview. It's about 22 minutes long. It is a key interview, and in tomorrow's podcast, I will actually detail some of the other people who are in these vendors you're going to hear about here, because they were at the site, and Paola was very nice to go over and get them to talk to me. So, enjoy this. This has got to do with a story that's getting bigger and bigger all the time, this whole idea about portals and Zendras, and this may be the key to the UFO phenomena.
I mean, I can see it again. I can see that that's the tree he was standing next to. Just let me just take a deep breath.
So the small tree beside the one that's bent over?
Yeah. That little baby tree is where I was standing. He was standing next to that tree. See how close I was?
Yeah.
But you know something? Come to that spot. Come to that spot for a minute. Because, I walked a long way.
Yeah, it is a long way.
I know, I got really scared. I walked a long way. In the dark. The 2015 event was down there on that other side. This was the 2014.
Oh, somebody's there.
Who's there? You mean the lady?
Yeah, just the small tree on the side there.
And I remember being here and kind of looking over there and those trees with LA. Saying mantras, and I remember that Sol was walking on the other side of that log towards that tree where Antara was standing. I remember you could hardly yell, "Don't touch him! Don't touch him!" And because by the time I got here, she had a white parka, and she was like, "Yes," walking towards us. There's the tree. I remember the baby tree. It's really strange because I can see it. I can see the whole thing all over again. I can see it all. He is standing next to that tree right there.
And where was the stuff coming off the ground then?
Here.
Just in here?
Baby tree. What I call the baby tree. Right in here. Right this area.
And so you're standing here and he's on the other side of the log?
He's standing next to that second skinny tree. See the second skinny tree?
Okay.
I can't walk over there. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It's pretty straight. And he was standing pretty straight. He's standing against. I remember thinking the tree was really straight, but he was straight too. And then I remember, what's her name? Sol is over here with her arms outstretched, walking towards him. So that's how far away I was. I did not move from this tree. I did not move from this. I had no, you know, I didn't know what to do. And my translator, Karina, was standing right there. So she...
Well, she was here too. I didn't know that.
Karina was standing there. I was holding hands, and then I had to let go with Siapa and Mercedes. I had to let go, and then you can talk to Mercedes, but she'll tell you she turned around and I wasn't there, she says.
Wow.
And I was here. So she said, she turned, this is how close we were. We were standing next to this little baby tree. We were looking right at him. It was right there, that skinny tree. And a year later, Mercedes said that she turned to the side and I wasn't there, but I mean, I can honestly tell you there was no way that I wasn't there. And also, I could hear him speak from here. I could hear him talk. It was like an echo. He was talking right, like I was opposite him, so he was like right there, and he was an echo. It was like a bullhorn.
Did you see it as an honor to have experienced it?
No, I was confused. I didn't know what the protocol was. I thought, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to say hi, you know, like, what are you supposed to do? So I think I just kept looking at him, trying to understand what he was saying. He had a hoodie on, he had a dark outfit, he was 10 foot tall, so he was like, just picture 10 foot above. He was tall, he was very tall. And so, I'm listening, and at the very end he says, thank you, like a robot, turns around and walks right back into the forest. And so I didn't know what to do. I thought I was hearing things. I thought I was going crazy. And these two women did not hear him talk.
Wow.
So what do you do? You know, I'm not crazy. I heard him, but I couldn't understand what he said. The only part I understood was the thank you.
Uh-huh.
At the very end, sounded like a robot. And he turned around and walked back in. And as I'm looking at that, I am so sure. I mean, this is a real experience that, you know, I haven't been here for a while. You're not prepared for anything. Just because it's just... I didn't know what was going to happen, and I wasn't afraid. I just was confused. Like, what do you do? Like, what are you supposed to do? And Sol, that had never seen Antara in all her years she was with Ricardo, was walking towards him with her arm outstretched. I remember thinking, don't go there. I remember thinking, don't go there. And then Ricardo from over here is yelling, don't touch him. And then when he left to walk back in the forest, Ricardo called us, and we went to that tree over there, and he said, what happened? And I said, I think he said thank you. I don't know what happened, but I heard him talk, and I can't understand a word he said. Then later he said it was Irdin, which is a language that the Apunian speak, and that Sol sings in that language. Look how pretty that sun is in between those... trees. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
that is beautiful. Really neat. This is a magical, a very magical spot.
Wow.
This is a magical. And then in 2015, Ricardo personally brought me here, kind of dragged me into the forest, deeper into the forest alone, because he figured that I had to decipher what they were telling me. And I've never written about that, but Tom Hamlin, that was with me, he accompanied me here. He wanted to come with me, but he sat right here and watched the whole thing, sitting in a chair that was meant for me because I was shaking like a leaf. I think the first time you don't know what's going on, and then the second time you kind of dread it because you know there's going to be an event and you don't know what to do because you already had it one time, so you don't know how to deal with it. But the second time, he dragged me in way into that forest, and there was Julio Palacio, Sol, Raimundo, who will be here, and they all saw... this tube come down from the sky. It was a tube of light that came down from the sky, and Tom saw it, so I could interview Tom.
Yeah.
And when I was walking through the trees, and we can walk a little bit, you'll see how it was. With long blonde hair, and Antara was in the middle. And he had on what looked like a bicycle suit. And like it was very tight-fitting white suit. So the others had white suits on, but I could tell which one was on Tadal. I think Ricardo brought me right in here into the forest. And I kept saying to Ricardo, I can see through them. I can see through them. So they were in those trees, and I could see them from the waist up. And I could see the trees through them. So it was a hologram. There's no doubt it was a hologram. And they would float in between those trees. They were floating. And I said to Ricardo, they're floating. they're floating in the trees. And he said, be quiet because they're trying to talk to you. And I just lost it.
Wow.
I was shaking. I said, I can't do it. I can't. And he said, they're looking right at you. And they did. I mean, I could see them. They were looking right at me like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? And I was shaking. And the God said, they said they've always protected you. They said they've always been, you know, with you. And now you need to relax because they can't talk to you because you're freaking out. And when it's that dark and I'm in that forest over there, it's very, very, very difficult. And I kept looking to the side because they were there. Finally, they gave up and they went into the forest. And those guys saw not only the tube, not only did they see Antarel, but at that time, and I saw this too, there were two little beings that looked like... they look like little gray beings, but what they were, they look like little mischievous beings of the forest that were playing hide and seek around those trees. Yeah. I think when a porthole opens, what happens is all kinds of stuff comes with it. And I was watching this little guy peek out like this and come back. Because
wow.
I went over there with Julio, and everybody went back up to the group, and I stayed with Julio, and he said, you see that little guy? I said, yeah, he's just like this. He's doing like this. This is after Antarel left. Now, I've got to say that because I was so bad about this, I went to Reno on the way back in bed while I'm sleeping. I get a message every hour on the hour, and the message is, and it's like a robotic message. It's one sentence, and it says, if you will lead, we will match your efforts.
Wow.
Every hour. So I called Tom. He was in the other room. I called him. I said, that's a message. If I had just calmed down, they would have given me that message. But I had PTSD, and people don't understand. It isn't that easy. I mean, you're standing and it's dark. You and I are here and there's light. Can you imagine pitch black, no flashlight? And I'm looking at this lights, these people going through the trees. I mean, I knew it was a hologram because they were playing Ring Around the Rosie around these trees.
Wow.
They went like this in the trees. I said, Ricardo, they're going, I can see through them. I can see the trees through them. And then all at once, they just, Antarel, before he left, this is two other blonde guys, he just turned around and just looked at me like, wow. You know, you are so... Oh, no, none of that. The Zendra is a mist that is a common mist between the being and you, because the being is in another dimension, and because it's a physical being, it has to breathe the same air. So you have to stand in that place so you have the same air in common. I had a little baby one over there, but the ones they had in Peru, I've interviewed all those people that were there, and they get physically ill when they walk in. Wow. They get nauseous. They feel like they're going to faint because I think something happens with the air that makes it like... I think something happens with... You know, it's a different atmosphere, but they have to have that. Now, these are these particular beings in Peru. So let's get that straight. It's not the Pleiadians. It's not other beings. When they came down from the ships, they created this bubble. And I've interviewed five people that have walked in the bubble. What I had was magic carpet. I had a carpet mist. It was not a dome. It was mist coming up. It was where I was supposed to stand. So, you know, it was like that. That piece where you're supposed to stand, and it was where those two little baby trees were. So I never moved from there. And I can honestly tell you, people don't understand, but it isn't easy. But since I'm coming back here, I feel like I should have been better. I should have been a lot better. Nothing would have happened to me. And Ricardo was very nice, and he was very sweet, and he even told me to close my eyes. And I said, are you kidding? I'm going to close my eyes. You know, I'm going to end up in the ship. But I have another story to tell the people. Ricardo's had, I think, three encounters, physical ones here. And one time when he was alone and he was here, he got this far, and he told me about this so I would feel better. And there were little kids playing in the trees over here. There were little children playing, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. He just, his thoughts were, you know, what the heck, kids playing? There's no parents watching these kids. When he thought that, that second he was aboard the ship, and they said to him, we had to distract you because you were freaking out so badly. You were so nervous that we had to present you with something that would take your mind off your fear. And so Ricardo says to Antaral, you mean you made all that up there? And Antaral says, yes. And then Ricardo says to him, then you must be a hologram. And Antaral leans down because he's 10 foot tall, takes his middle finger and shoves it in Ricardo's chest and said, I am not a hologram.
Wow.
And Ricardo said, he really hurt me because he was trying to, they have a technology. It didn't work very well with me, but where they have to talk to him, he's just as bad as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So he's walking here going, oh my God, they're going to, you know, it's not that they're going to take me. It's not an abduction. It's,
you lost control.
We want to talk to you, but you're human. You're going to go nuts.
Yeah.
So, I remember reading, and still they fly, the story, the Billy Meyer case, why Billy Meyer was not allowed to take other people with him on his encounters. And the Pleiadians said, we have this mechanism aboard the ship that measures people's brainwaves, and most of your friends could not stand to see us or see us come off the ship or see the ship. We know you can because you studied meditation, you were in India, but most of your friends can't take it. So that's the truth. I mean, if you personally want to come down here at midnight and stand here,
wow.
You can do it. It's, I don't think Antarel will necessarily be here, but he'll know you are here.
Yeah.
He knows we're here.
Yeah.
Things began to happen. I would hear my name called when I'm sleeping in the room, and my phone started to do Morse code. And when my phone would go beep, 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 I knew they were around. I knew they were around. But since the message was, you have to lead and we'll match your efforts, I was looking at what work I was doing that they were going to match my efforts. In other words, I thought, oh, what is it you want me to do? I've even gone in Creston and said, what is it you want me to do? Will you be clear? What is it you want me to do? And I guess that's, you know, they're going to answer me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they answer me while I'm sleeping here or whether they answer, you know, when we're in meditation, they'll answer. Because they want you to do something. This is not a circus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not a circus. It's not. Yeah, I feel I'm getting direction. I need a little bit more support because the field is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using their minds to understand the contact as contacted, that you have a responsibility. If you meet somebody here, it's not because he wants to meet you just for the heck of it. He wants you to do something. And usually what he wants you to do, or she, because Ivica is Ricardo, when he went up that time, he saw Ivica standing next to Antara, is they want you to somehow raise consciousness of the planet so that we won't go the way they went. And the way they went was they destroyed their planet. And they are people from the future. And Ivica, in this case, is a hybrid because she reminded Ricardo that she comes from his genealogy.
Hmm.
And she says, you guys, you want to end up in Apu or do you want to end up on Earth? This is a choice. So that's why it's the world peace meditation. That's why I don't want to end up like that. But you can't just say you don't want to end up like that. You have to do something. You have to, like, come here, meditate, meet other people, join together energies, model the behavior that they want you to model. Do I think I'll ever have another contact? I don't know. I was just talking to Fernando, and he said, Paulo, we didn't know that you were going to see that night. We just happened to be here meditating. We saw him. Seven people saw him standing here. And then, you know, Ricardo comes and says, can you handle it? He's here. And I thought, whoa, that's unannounced. Whoa. So, I mean, like, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what other messages there are. You know, I can't even imagine, do I want to? I'd like to get over the fear. you know, I like to be normal. You know, I was a little embarrassed.
But I think it's understandable. I mean, especially if Ricardo, who is sort of the main person...
Yeah, he kept saying, calm down. Nothing's going to happen to you. And he was holding my hands, and I was going, oh, but, you know, it's like, I can't close your eyes. I can't. I'll end up up there, you know, I'll end up on the ship.
Yeah.
And in the disgusting look that he gave me as he's turning around. And he I could tell which one he had... sparks coming out of his suit, and the other guys didn't. His was sparking. And when I went to the Atacama Desert with Ricardo, this is a real story. When Ricardo went to have his physical meeting with Ivica, and he left and went to the sand dunes and disappeared for an hour, I saw on the other side, I saw the sparks. And Fernando, who has the laser that points to the UFOs that you're going to see, he pointed it right at Antonella. And I went up to him and I said, do you know what you just did? They're standing, and it was Antonella and a bunch of them on the other side of the hill. I said, you just pointed it at those guys. Why'd you do that? I said, that's a dangerous. And he goes, I just had a feeling. I said, you should. That's where they were, because I saw all the sparks, but that was way far away.
Wow.
It was way far away.
Wow.
So. And so I told Fernando now, I said, you know what, you pointed it right at them. You had the feeling and you went like this, right, the green laser right at them. And are they real? Yes. Are they people? Yes. The message that came out of Atacama Desert was that we were going to have a war over water, that the planet was going to have an ecological disaster, and that we had to wake up fast because we're going to go down a very slippery slope. And that we've been told about it. It's funny, he's taking a picture right at that spot.
Wow.
He's taking a picture right there. Okay, well, you know,
okay.
That's
beautiful. Thanks for doing that.
Can you understand?
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.